It's the very first one. We've looked at it twice, and we're going to look at it again. So we invite you to stand as we read Psalm 120, the first psalm of ascent. And really, there's just one line in this psalm that we will be looking at or laying a base for this morning. And then I'm going to also read a few verses from Daniel chapter 9. But hear God's word as it's recorded for us in Psalm 120. A song of ascents. Verse 1. I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. That's the phrase, he answers me. I mean, what an affirmation. If that's all you can say about God, what a testimony. He answers me. I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. Save me, O Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. What will he do to you, and what more besides, O deceitful tongue? He will punish you with a warrior's sharp arrows, with burning coals of the broom tree. Woe to me that I dwell in Meshech, and that I live among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I lived among those who hate peace. I am a man of peace, but when I speak, they are for war. And then from Daniel chapter 9, you remember Daniel is in Babylon. He was taken as an exile with a good many of the Jewish people in Israel, and they've been in Babylonian captivity. But Daniel never forgot his identity. He never forgot his commitment to the true and living God. And so he has been praying in chapter 9, and we're picking it up with verse 20. This is one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture regarding answered prayer. Daniel chapter 9, verse 20. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord my God for his holy hill, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. Now notice verse 23. This is the key, the clincher. As soon as you began to pray, an answer was given. I mean, God is so anxious to give us answers. As soon as you began to pray, an answer was given, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the message and understand the vision. God's word for God's people. You may be seated. Every few years, I do like to visit this subject of how God answers prayer. And there are a number of reasons, but let me give you two reasons why I like to visit this subject of God answering our prayer. Number one is, that's good news. And it's God's nature to answer. He has to express himself. He's a God who reveals the truth. Jesus himself is called what? It begins with a W. Word. The Word. He is the Word. I mean, God has to relate. He wants to share. He's not playing hide and go seek. It's his nature. And that's the good news. He wants to answer our prayers. But the second thing is more of a cautionary note. And that is, we need to be very careful about putting God in our own particular box, because he can answer in a lot of different ways. And one of the things that kind of sobers me a little bit when I think about praying to God and asking for something is, I don't know if you can see these images. This is a shepherd with his sheep. And now and then, I have to tell myself, her, you are a sheep. There are some pretty smart sheep. Most of them that I've met are not as smart as my goats. And my goats aren't that smart. And so when I talk to God, who is the good shepherd, who sees all things and knows all things and knows how all these things fit together, I need to come before him humbly and not try to put him in a box. You know, it's helpful to remember the prayer that Jesus uttered to his own Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will, but thine be done. Not my way, not my will, but yours. Your will be done. And so it's helpful to sort of reflect together the many different ways that God answers and responds to our requests. But in a preliminary way, let me say a few things about Daniel and his prayer. Daniel had a routine of praying three times a day. And, you know, initially when I read about that, I thought, boy, you know, how ritualistic, how legalistic. I mean, that's sort of like Muslim people who have five calls to prayer a day. But, you know, whether you look at Muslim people or you want to look at Daniel, there is a rhythm that follows their life. It's not arbitrary legalism. It's a discipline that helps them through the day. And so, you know, we need to be careful about judging other people and, you know, just sort of checking it off as a dead ritual or legalism. There actually may be a lot of powerful, useful, life-giving rhythm to the way they're communicating and walking with their Heavenly Father. Another thing that I would share in just a preliminary way, Miss Robin, I just noticed you. You know, I was telling Miss Bolt back there, you know, the tradition in Korea is you have guests, they sing a solo. Do you feel so urged? You don't feel urged. Oh, you're not a guest. Okay, I am rebuked. I accept that. The way we pray and the way we expect God to answer does reveal something about our theology. I mean, our understanding of God and how he relates. So, you know, whether we pray or don't pray or how we pray and what our discipline of prayer reveals a great deal about our understanding of the true and the living God. Now, another thing I would mention is as we talk about how God answers, we're sort of assuming that we've met the conditions. You know, for example, Jesus says, you don't have because you haven't asked. I mean, I'm not going to get an answer if I don't ask. Right? So there needs to be some asking. It needs to be done in faith. It needs to be done according to God's will. There are a lot of great teaching in the scripture about praying appropriately to our Heavenly Father. But let me give you some of the ways that God answers prayer. And again, I do this so that we don't put God in a box and assume he's got to answer our prayers in one way or he doesn't care. I think that's a terrible mistake. Number one, God can say yes. You know, you ask a request, you make a request, you're praying for a loved one to come to know the Lord Jesus, and they do. Yes. You need a financial issue addressed, and it is. Yes. I remember a number of years ago, Bethany was in the old building, you know, the fans and the wasps. You know, people stayed on their toes. They really did. There was nobody really fell asleep. I mean, people were wide awake. But I remember it was either late 70s, and Linda, you may remember this, late 70s or early 80s, there were three couples that wanted children, and they were childless. And I remember the Sunday they came forward and said, you know, we've gone to the specialists, we've gone to the doctors, and we really want a child. And so we started looking at Hannah and Hannah's prayer. Hannah was barren. And she went to the Lord and said, Lord, if you give me a child, I'll dedicate. Of course, Samuel was born, and so Hannah's song became our thing. But we prayed for those couples, and in very short order, all three couples conceived. And, you know, it was just a big yes from God. So one of the ways that God answers, we need to remember, it's one of the ways. It's not the only way. It's one of the ways that God answers. He gives us a big yes. Another way that God answers, and this is where we begin to have arguments with God and we lose our patience and we wonder if God really cares, is God tells us basically to wait. Your address is right. You got the right idea. You're moving in the right direction. Your request is legitimate, but you don't see all the things that need to come into place. Your timing is a little off. It's a timing issue right here. And, you know, all of you have probably experienced some degree of that. You really believe in your heart of hearts that this is a legitimate prayer. But for some reason, it's just not happening real quickly. I hope my wife will still live with me when I tell a story about her. But when we first met, I'm grateful she didn't tell me everything that she was feeling and sensing when we first met. But we had been in a Bible study together, and I asked her if she'd go to a football game with me, so we went to this football game. And that first time we were out together, she had this sensation, oh my goodness, I'm going to marry this guy. It was really good that she didn't tell me. And so we went out together some more for several months. In 4 months' time, we had broken up and gone our separate ways. The following year, we got reacquainted, and we continued some Bible studies together and this sort of thing. And then I had the sensation, oh, my goodness, I'm going to marry this lady. Several months, we went our separate ways. 4 years later, Catherine, that's not funny. That can happen to anybody. four years later, we both came together with the same idea. This is it, and it was. Now, in those earlier times, see, Susan had come from Brazil, a unique culture. I had come from Korea, a unique culture. We were trying to understand and comprehend this unique culture. There were a lot of issues going on, but there were some folks early on in our relationship said, y'all need to get married. It really wouldn't have been a pretty story if we had early on. We were moving in the right direction, but the timing was not right. And so when we think of going to God in prayer, we need to understand He sees things you and I cannot imagine. He sees the future. He sees all the interlocking parts. He sees all the people that are engaged in this request and how they would play a part. So sometimes God is telling us, you need to be patient. And that, by the way, that's something we don't do too well at, is patience. But there's a lot in Scripture about patience. There's a lot about perseverance. So a second way that God may answer is to say, wait. A third way that God may challenge us is to be more specific, to be more specific. You know, sometimes we pray, Lord, just bless everybody. Well, I don't know when that's answered or not. I mean, it's kind of vague. It's like shooting up in the air hoping I hit something. You know, I need a target. And if I don't have a target, I'm not really exercising any faith. It doesn't challenge my faith at all. But if there's focus and I know exactly what I'm praying for, then it stimulates and challenges faith. You know, I've got to believe in that. So I think sometimes God is saying, be more specific. Many of you know the name George Washington Carver, one of the brilliant scientists that came out of this country down at the Tuskegee Institute. And what many people may not be aware of is that he was a committed Christian. And every morning when he would go to his laboratory, he had a prayer. Dear Mr. Creator, what are you going to show me today? And then as a part of that prayer, this is his own testimony, he said initially, Dear Mr. Creator, why in the world did you make this universe? And he got a sense that God was saying, why don't you narrow it down just a little bit? And so he started praying, Dear Mr. Creator, why did you make human beings? And again, he got a sense that God was saying, you just need to narrow that. That's sort of big for you. And so he started praying, Dear Mr. Creator, why in the world did you create the peanut? And as you know, out of his laboratory came over 200 uses for the peanut, including peanut butter. So the next time you put that, smear that peanut butter on that loaf of bread, think of George Washington Carver and remember God saying to you, you need to be more specific. You need to be more focused in your praying. So sometimes God says yes. Sometimes he says wait. Sometimes he says be more specific. And fourthly, sometimes God says no. And sometimes, tragically, we accept that as God not caring. God not answering. How many of you, whether it be your children, your students, your colleagues at work, have ever said in a request from somebody, you've said no? Would you raise your hand? Okay. All of us at some time or another have said no. God is all knowing, all the way down to the end of time. He sees it all. And in his great wisdom and mercy, sometimes he says, Riley Lane, no. I'm sorry. I had to pick on somebody. But sometimes he says no. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the great man of faith, the Apostle Paul, goes to God 3 different times and said, Lord, remove the thorn from me. God says, no. My grace is sufficient. No. My grace is sufficient. No. My grace is sufficient. I like the way C.S. Lewis puts it. If God had granted all the silly prayers I've made in my life, where should I be now? Some of you have heard this story. The late Ruth Graham, wife of Billy Graham, said if God had answered all of her prayers, she would have married the wrong man many times. So God, who sees all things, sometimes says no. And what we need to understand is that's a good answer. That's a legitimate answer. That's an answer that comes from an all-wise God. Now, the reason we have to emphasize this is, back in the 70s, and some still hold to this, but you've heard the name it and claim it, or confess and possess. It's almost as if you will just keep doing it, it's going to come. And God said, boy, if I really gave you what you're praying for, you're going to really be in a pickle, you know? And so we need to be responsive to majesty, to the sovereign, the one who knows all and sees all and is aware of all. Now, this is the way we love God to answer our prayers. This is another way that God can answer prayer. God can answer, and I'm quoting the Apostle Paul here, in a measure exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. You know, we come to God and say, fill my thimble, Lord, or fill my cup. And God says, where's your pickup, for goodness sakes? You know, I want to pour it on. I want to give you more than you could have imagined. Jesus never rebukes his disciples for having too big of prayers. His rebuke is they were too puny and lacking faith. You know, wake up. Pray some big prayers. I remember there was a PC student who really wanted to go to the Dominican Republic. Really felt God was calling her. I mean, she talked about how she had prayed about this and gone over it, you know, again and again in Scripture and so on. And really felt God calling her to go to the DR. But she just didn't know where she was going to get money. She just didn't see how it was going to be possible. And I said, you know, if the Lord really wants you to go, I don't think money is going to be a big issue for him. And so she continued to pray. And doggone it, she had so much money, she underwrote the fees of other people that were going. She ended up staying in the DR with Pastor Moise Sam for a whole year, teaching in the school down there. But, you know, God gave her more than she could have asked or thought. Some of you remember the ministry of Bill Gothard. And in the early days, Bill traveled around a lot and taught as an evangelist, as a teacher, and so on. And he had the travel. He believed God had really called him to do that, but he didn't have a functioning automobile. So he went to the Lord and said, Lord, I think you've given me this call. I'm trying to respond to the call, but I can't go where the calls are coming because I have no way to go. And he said, in a very short time, he said his front yard looked like a used car lot. He had so many gifts of automobiles. You know, I think God really wants to bless us above and beyond what we can imagine. The issue for you and I is, are we seeking the kingdom first? In other words, are we where he can bless us? Are we pursuing him with passion? Because he wants his purposes accomplished. He wants his will to be done. And so if that's my preoccupation, I think God's going to make sure that the task is funded, or the task is supported, or that the people will be there. So one of the ways that God answers is indeed above we could possibly ask or think. Another way that God answers, and really I think this happens more time than we would realize, is God answers before we even ask. You know, God knows what's coming. He knows what's around the next corner. He knows what you're going to face. Let me tell you the way it's happened to me on occasion. I'll get an unexpected financial gift or bonus or tax return or whatever, and I think, whew, I'm going to finally get ahead. And you know what happens? The car breaks down. The refrigerator goes on a blink. Some other need. Well, God sees all those kind of things coming up, you know. And so sometimes he jumps the gun. You know, before I even feel the need, before I'm aware of the need, before I can articulate the need, he sees what's coming and he supplies. Now, on the side, let me share something else about answered prayer. I think as exciting as getting our prayers answered can be, I think it can be even more exciting to know that God has used you to answer somebody else's prayer. You know, for example, you call up somebody and you say, you know, during the night, your name came to my mind and I just found myself really praying for you. And the person on the other line starts praying. They said, I haven't told anybody what I was going through. Nobody knew the challenges I were facing. And see, it confirms to them that God is being active on their behalf. Or maybe you feel led to give somebody a financial gift or whatever, and their jaws drop and said, how in the world did you know? That's exactly what I needed to have to pay off a particular debt or whatever. And so, you know, as we think about God answering our prayer, let us be aware that God's using us to indeed accomplish his purposes in other people's lives. So many times we are that connection. We are that part of that answer to somebody else's prayer. And I think that's enormously exciting. There's one other, a seventh way that I would mention that God answers prayer. For me, this is the most exciting, the most exhilarating, the most meaningful, but many times we miss it. We go to God and we make a petition or intercession, a supplication. We make a request, and for whatever reason, God doesn't come through. You know, we feel like we've covered all the bases. We feel like we've done everything right. We've met all the conditions. We don't know what's missing, but God doesn't give us an answer that we anticipate. To me, the biggest thing God can do in response to our prayers is to give us more of himself. And so rather than giving us this thing or that thing, sometimes God just shows up and just blows us away. The story of Job is that kind of encounter. Job could never have fathomed what was going on in the heavenlies between the Almighty and Satan. I mean, he was sort of the pivotal point. You know, they were debating about Job himself. And Job starts losing everything that was dear to him. His family, his wealth, his flocks, even his own health. And the question running through the book of Job is, why do the righteous suffer? I mean, Job is thinking, I haven't done anything worse than anybody else. And of course, his friends, his nice friends who come along think, Job, you really must have done something bad for God to get at you this way. And so throughout the book, he's just struggling. What have I done? Where have I missed God? How could I have sinned so dramatically to where I would go through this kind of horrendous suffering? His friends were not helpful in that regard. Their theology was a bit tainted. Then at the end of the book, God shows up in a whirlwind. You remember that? And he speaks to Job. And I love Job's testimony, Job 42:5. In the past, I knew only what others had told me. But now I have seen you with my own eyes. Ay-ya-ya. I mean, God, go ahead and take everything else. I just want an encounter with you. You know, I want to know you and experience you in ways I've never known or experienced before. Now, you get to the very end of Job, and God blesses him. I'm just multiplies the blessings back. He's a wealthy man. He has more children, sons and daughters. But there's a very peculiar way the book of Job ends. He has seven boys and three daughters. Typically, in Hebrew society, Jewish society, the boys would be named if anybody was going to be named, and then it would just say, and there were several girls. But in this case, there are several boys, and the three girls are named. And the reason I think they're named is when Jewish people named their children, it was not just sort of a tag. There was significance. Either came out of an experience or is a name, a prophecy, prophetic way. And each of those three girls received a name that related to beauty. And I think Job is saying through their names, wow, God, you're much more glorious, more beautiful, more majestic than I could have ever conceived. You know, that's the encounter of the people that encounter God in the book of Revelation. Oh, my goodness. I thought I had seen beauty. Nothing compares to this. I thought I had seen glory and holiness. Nothing compares to this. And so Job, even though he didn't get resolution to all of his questions about his own particular suffering, he met the Almighty, and those questions evaporated. You know, the good news is God loves us passionately. And it's in his nature to respond to us, to walk with us, to talk to us, to interact with us. And the good news is, even when I don't know how to pray, even when I'm not sure where I am and don't even have the energy to pray, I've got somebody who's been touched with my infirmities. The book of Hebrews says, ever lives to intercede for you and I. The Lord Jesus, our great high priest, when our prayers falter, his never do. And if there's anybody that knows you and I, it's the Lord himself, and he's interceding for you. Let's pray. Father, we are indeed grateful that you're for us. We're grateful that you know all things. We're grateful that you're the great shepherd. We're grateful that you're all wise. You're omnipotent. And Lord, we're grateful that you actually respond to the likes of us. But the record is true. And many can give testimony to the reality in their own lives that, yes, you hear the cries of your people. Lord, we're so grateful that you interact with us in that way. We're also grateful, Father, that we have an advocate at the right hand of the Father who ever lives to pray on our behalf. Lord Jesus, we're humbled, we're awed, and we love you. We bless you. In your name we pray. Amen. One of the great